Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
All right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I am your guest host, ADHD coach Caroline McGuire, and we have a great show for you tonight. Our title is all about life skills for ADHD teenagers and young adults. And with us today in our virtual studio is Kathy Cool. Tonight is March 22nd. 2017, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And just a couple of things before we get into the meat of the show. It is not too early. I actually have already done this, which is sort of a miracle, to book your tickets to the annual CHAD conference. It is November, the second week of November 2017. You can go to chadchadd.org. If you have a child, an adult, a spouse with ADHD, this is your one-stop shopping. It is absolutely fantastic. I've been going for too long. I don't even want to say how long, 12 years maybe. And I also want to mention that the Attention Deficit Coaches Organization conference is April 27th. That is ADHDcoaches.org. So if you are an ADHD coach, or a professional, that would be a great place for you. Also, Dr. Barkley has asked me to remind you to check out ADHDfund.com, a crowdsourcing website designed to raise money for small scale research. And I think that is the end of our announcements. In our virtual studio is Kathy Cool, and we are very lucky to have Kathy here. She helps parents teach children with learning challenges. After 9 years of homeschooling her son with ADHD and dyslexia and interviewing 64 families with diagnosed learning challenges, she wrote Homeschooling, Your Struggling Learner, a handbook for anyone helping children with challenges. You should check it out. It's fantastic. I have checked it out and I have shared it with many, many people. She also wrote Staying Sane as You Homeschool and Encouraging Your Children, magazine articles, and a blog. She has many resources available at her website, learndifferently.com. Kathy is an international speaker and is presented at national conferences of CHAD, Learning Disabilities Association, and Autism Society. She offers advice to families and provides resources, encouragement, and insight. She graduated from William & Mary College, where she earned a teaching certificate in English and mathematics. I was also an English major. Kathy Cool, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Caroline. It's great to be with you this evening.
It's great to have you. Kathy and I had a conversation, which seemed like a lifetime ago, about this show, because I felt passionately that life skills are so important. And I was looking for someone like Kathy, who really does this on a daily basis and works with families and has had her own children who learn differently. So Kathy, let's start off. You and I had a conversation. What do you think a life skill is, and why are they important, especially in this ADHD arena?
A lot of folks associate education with success, and we push at getting our kids into the schools, but we all, if we think back to our school days, know lots of people who have thrived despite having a rough start in school. So life skills are basically everything else, managing your time, succeeding at work, managing money, learning how to drive, dealing with social interactions, daily life, keeping your home together, all kinds of things that fill up our days.
And I imagine, Kathy, that as a parent involved with the homeschool community, you had this vision for your education. And my experience with folks who homeschool is that your vision includes more than merely math or reading, not that those aren't important. And you had expressed to me that life skills are important, and that's part of what's happening with our ADHD young people, why they're not necessarily thriving. Can you speak to that?
Certainly. Yes, I think when our kids are in school, we're so concerned that they're having trouble sitting still, that they're having trouble remembering assignments, communicating with teachers, and keeping track of where they left their books and everything. And we focus on academics because we expect that to be the key to success. But for our teens and young adults, we find the older they get, the more everything else matters. It doesn't matter if you manage to get A's in science, in writing, in history, mathematics, whatever it is, if you don't turn in the papers, and if you get those A's and get a job, but you don't know how to get to work on time, you don't know how to get to work, you don't understand how to talk with the boss about difficulties at work, and you don't know how to manage your money, then you're in huge trouble. As homeschooling parents, I'm one of many that's concerned about helping my child thrive in every area. And as homeschoolers, we had the freedom to flex our curriculum and put more time in on whatever areas we saw as being areas of need. So that helped us develop our concern and develop up more opportunities to teach life skills.
That's really well put, Kathy. And, you know, I want to say this too. You and I had a conversation. We were talking about some sort of things from the past, which was that regardless of whether you homeschool or not, you know, parents previously saw it as important to know how to change a tire once you had your license, and, you know how to write a check. And I guess nowadays it would be online banking. And you had a really good point that you made to me, which is that one of the biggest things that trips up our young people with ADHD is actually this arena. Can you say a little more about that?
About managing money in particular?
I was thinking like these kind of basic skills.
As we work with our kids with these skills, we can go at the pace they need. We can take them out in the world and do things. Homeschoolers have a lot of opportunities to do that. For instance, we used a Boy Scout merit badge pamphlet on personal management. Working through that, there's a big section on finance. I took my son to a bank when he was 12 and had him ask one of the bankers how he'd set up an account there and what he needed, what the minimum requirements are. By getting him out in the world and having him compare prices and do sorts of hands-on things, it really brought home more that these are real things and not just another assignment. I've taught public school, and I've taught some of those skills in the classroom, and it's much more engaging, especially for our distractible kids, to be out in the world using real-world situations. If you're out with a parent changing a tire, if your folks are batteries dead and your parents are teaching you how to get a jump, that makes much more of an impression than watching a video, even a good YouTube video on how to do it. Hands-on is so much better for our kids.
So what I love about what you're saying, and if I'm understanding you, and I completely agree with this, is you're basically saying take your kids out into the world, have them work with you, and, you know, have them be at the bank teller asking how to do it rather than you set up the account and you hand them the thing and say it's done. Is that how you did that, Kathy?
Yes, absolutely. And it's a gradual process. You know, when you've got your young teenager, a lot of these things just sound like they are a million miles away, and you think, I can't get them out the door with a notebook and homework, and why are you talking to me about banking? No, I'm talking about banking because they grow up awfully fast, and I'm talking about flat tires and planning a menu and knowing how to cook enough so you don't starve or have to live on ramen. those things all come along before you know it. And it's best to start introducing these skills when the kids are fairly young and real interested, not jaded. If you teach a small child how to mop, well, like take my 2-year-old granddaughter. She got a little toy broom and she is thrilled. She's happy to take her mom's Swiffer and move around the kitchen trying to sweep. You know, if you wait till that child is 16 before you hand them the Swiffer, then they'll say no thanks. They'd rather text. But if you bring up, if you bring up these skills when they're young, when it's novel, when I can be like mom and dad, that's good. We want to always be pushing our kids along. I had a neighbor whose daughter, as far as I know, didn't have attention issues. But I was walking down the street one day talking to my neighbor, and she said, well, I have to go back in right now. I'm teaching my daughter how to clean the whole house fan. Well, her daughter was 15, and nobody'd ever taught me how to clean a whole house fan. I didn't even know where it was in my attic. So this is a mom who's, this is a mom who's thinking like we need to think down the road a ways, bringing things in while it's challenging, interesting, and fun, and not when it's one more chore and they've just come home from work and they're beat and they've had a bad commute. Starting young is really helpful.
Well, and there's so many things that are coming up for me with what you've just said. That's a fantastic example. And I don't think I do actually know how to clean a whole house fan. And if my mother's listening, she's probably horrified, but you know, it is true that there are things you need to know, you know, how to turn the water off in a house if you have a leak. I remember one time discovering the wonder of ice dams up here in New England, and what do you do? But the thing that I also really like about what you're talking about and I'm wondering about is you've worked with a lot of families, and I'm wondering if, you know, you have children who learn differently, and that's what your, you know, a lot of your stuff is about. Do you find that with this population, they might actually be more interested in this life skill stuff than the academic stuff?
Absolutely. And that even includes entrepreneurship. You get kids who do not care at all about school, but you give them an opportunity to start even a small business, and suddenly, you know, they want to add those numbers up correctly. They're having creative ideas for that flyer to advertise their services. A lot of our kids will thrive in these hands-on activities of all sorts. We need to give them different opportunities and try different things so we can see where their gifts are and where they grow. And they may be supporting you in your retirement because you let them have a good start young.
That's right. They may own, I have an ex-student who owns one of the big companies around here for construction, and I wish he would take care of me in my retirement. We have to go to a commercial break. But I just want to mention a couple of life skills. I was fortunate enough to go to the Lynn Transition Conference this year, and there were a lot of people talking about this because it's a conference about people transitioning into college or whatever they're going to do. And here's a couple life skills. And then when we come back, I have a bunch of things I want to ask you about how you do this.
Okay.
The ability to fill your medication. That's important for our population. Use a system to wash your face, shower, shave. That's something that young men have to do, and sometimes not something you learn naturally. And then you discard old and expired food. So there's a bunch of things here that are involved. Kathy, we're going to a break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about how to help a kid who learns differently learn these skills. You can find Kathy Kuhl at learndifferently.com, and we will be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
So welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Kathy Kuhl, and we are talking about life skills for ADHD teens, young adults, and children. And before the break, we were talking about these hands-on activities that are life skills. And I mentioned a few. Here's a couple more. The ability to manage at an ATM and be safe, right? Because if you're in the city, wherever you are, you have to be safe. Get gas, pump gas. First aid. So here's my question, Kathy, because you've done this a lot. If I'm a parent and I haven't done this and my kids are headed to college or I'm just hearing this and saying, wow, this is so true. You know, I got these skills and I haven't done them with my kids. How would you advise people to go about this? Is it that they make an appointment and say, hey, Saturday, we're going to learn how to change a tire? Is it that they sign them up for Eagle Scouts? What is your advice to people about how do they go about this?
That's a great question. First, I think I'd try to begin to take inventory of what skills your child has and which ones you feel are most urgently needed. Life skills kind of go on a continuum. There's stuff you can start teaching a child when they're 3 and 4, you know, turning out the lights, when they leave a room, those sorts of things, and doing laundry when, depending on the child, 9, 10, 11, my son started doing his laundry at age 13 because his big sister had left home, and I realized if he also started doing his laundry, then my workload was cut in half. But we could assign these things at different times. I'd look at different categories of life and see what which ones you see are most pressing. There are people that have published lists of these, and I think I will try to get one on my blog next week so that you have some resources. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. There's several books that spell out lists of things. So I'd look online, find some lists, start going through and saying, oh, I forgot about ATMs, the one Caroline just mentioned, or some other things. I wouldn't just pull out one morning frantically and say, okay, today tire and spark plugs or whatever. I would sit back first and begin to make a plan. I would pick a good time. If you bring this on your teen or your young adult Saturday morning at 8:30, they're not going to thank you because that's their sleep-in time. I think I'd also think about appreciate, you know, let's work on tires and then we're heading to Starbucks or doing this in conjunction with some other activity. And some of the things, survival skills you can teach as part of camping trips, how to light a fire, how to put out a fire, and everything in between with camping.
That's a great idea. And that makes it fun. And I think that the picture that I'm formulating, sorry about the music that came on. I don't know what's happening. The different categories also could be paired with what a child or teen or a young adult finds the most fun. And I think that there's so many things that could be done in conjunction with a fun activity like camping or biking. When you work and talk to families, do you find that they worry about the teenagers, especially? We know teenagers have this resistant streak. Do they talk about or struggle with worrying that the teen will be too resistant?
It depends on the teen, really. Our kids go through different stages. Some are more resistant than others. In that case, I would step back and say, is there something else going on here? Is there a reason for this added resistance? Maybe it is just hormones, but there may be something else going on there. They may be in a lot of stress at school or in relationships, either because of attention problems or for other reasons, and we may want to pace it, our instruction to how they're doing. We can also look at other times to do this, make it part of summer vacation, something we're going to devote 1 or 2 days on spring break to. I wouldn't devote spring break or Christmas break to a 40-hour instructional course in my field, but tie into some of their interests and take it a little bit at a time. But sure, yes, we do have problems with kids being resistant. I would talk with them about why as well. Say, what is it about this that makes you not interested? Some of our kids just can't imagine, it hasn't really sunk in, that they're going to have to balance that checkbook, that they're going to be the one buying their own groceries. Because for many teens and young adults and kids with attention deficit disorder, there are only two times. There's now and there's not now. So I don't have to worry about planning meals now. So why should I worry about it when it's 5 years away before I'm cooking for myself? So make them in charge of the meals for a day, for a week in your home. Bring it and make it more immediate.
That's a great idea. I love it. Make them in charge of the meals. And, you know, we watch all those shows, my daughter and I, about MasterChef mm-hmm. Junior and all this, and there are 8-year-olds cooking and turning on a gas stove or a stove is a life skill. So absolutely. We're going to go to a break again, but I have a couple of before we go. Purchasing a public transportation pass. I don't think I did that till I was like 22 years old. Arrive at a mm-hmm. stop 10 minutes prior to a scheduled bus or train. That would be tough for our mm-hmm. young people. We don't really call cabs, but they might call an Uber, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of thing now.
Right.
We are going to go to a break. If you would like to check out Kathy Cool, she is at learningdifferently.com. And
excuse me, that's learndifferently.com.
Oh, sorry, Kathy. Learndifferently.com. And her latest book is Encouraging Your Child. And it's germane to this topic. So we will be right back after the break.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation.
Sure.
Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back to everyone to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Kathy Cool, And just before the break, we were talking about helping make this life skills and making this learning part of life, especially since many ADHD young people have now and not now. So saying to them, you know, you're going to have to do your own laundry at college is sometimes distant to them. Kathy had suggested making them in charge of meals, having them become part of the now with the life skills. One thing we mentioned was, you know, buying a bus pass, getting to the subway, getting an Uber, and, you know, crossing at the lights, right? There's something that somebody taught you. You didn't automatically grow up knowing that. Kathy, can you paint us a picture of how you would walk a child or teen through something like the subway or learning to cross at the lights so we can sort of picture it?
Okay. Well, let's take a transit ride, and I'm going to say bus rather than subway because we don't all live in cities with subway systems, but it's pretty similar. I would pick out a destination that's a place your teen is interested in going to, say a movie theater, or they want to go see a concert or something special in town. And then I'd show them the way that you would plan the trip using public transit. Perhaps you get on Google and search that. There's apps like HopStop for metropolitan cities with big transit systems. And maybe it's just your transit system's website. Go there, show them, walk them through the process. Some of those programs are kind of glitchy, so you want to teach them that we have to be patient with these, look at a map, then go through the schedule, see what time the bus is leaving, notice how often the bus comes. For instance, where I live, we have buses inbound towards Washington, D.C. from a block from my house, but they only run inbound in the morning. So if I have a 12 noon appointment in D.C., I'm not taking a bus. We also want to help our kids look up how long the transit time total is. We want to encourage them to make generous estimates of walking time. Our kids with attention problems, our teens and our young adults, often are really overly optimistic about how fast things are going to work, and teach them to build in buffer time, that things will always go wrong. And once they know that, say, the trip is going to take 75 minutes, they'd say, okay, and we want to be there 10 minutes early, and we might miss a bus, so we're going to leave how early? And take a clock. You can just go around the clock circling backwards or counting the digital clock and say, okay, so we're going to leave at 7 for a 9 o'clock appointment. If it's a trip that's not just hypothetical, it's something you want to do with a child, you talk them through. Perhaps you want to shadow them and actually have them go on the trip with you standing a few feet behind them. And that way, if they start to step on the wrong subway or get off the bus too soon, you can shake your head and they'll know to hang on a minute.
I think what I love about what you said, Kathy, is that, you know, when you and I were growing up, we walked to neighbors' houses,
yeah.
We walked to school, we did all of that
mm-hmm.
stuff. You know, nowadays, we've really stopped a lot of that.
Yes, there's less autonomy.
There's less autonomy. But the fact is, everybody, we want them to go out and become adults and do all these things. And so one of the things I heard you say is you're showing them, you're demonstrating, you're guiding, and then ultimately this idea of shadowing them. And I really like that because it's, you know, it goes back to, you know, back when we were kids and your mom would say, you know, look both ways, but she didn't walk you every time. You did reach a point where you did it on your own.
Yes, and another really helpful thing with this sort of project that I should have said is to start small. Don't start with the crosstown trip that involves changing two buses. Start with the one that's on the bus line nearest to you, where all you have to do is remember to get off at the 7th bus stop. Teach them to read the map. Teach them to recognize the stop before their destination so it doesn't catch them by surprise, and also talk with them about what you can do if you miss a stop. If you've gone too far, you know, you get off, you look both ways, you cross the street, and you get on the bus going the other direction. If you're on a subway, you switch over to the other platform and go back. Because otherwise, they, like all young adults, the first time these things happen, you kind of panic and go, yikes, what do I do now? I've never even heard of this subway station.
Right. Absolutely. And the thing about that, too, though, is that, you know, what's the role of mistakes in this process? You know, what do you think you would advise parents about mistakes?
Oh, that's a great question. Because as concerned parents with distractible kids, our first instinct is to want to shelter them and protect them from every possible mistake and jump up and say, no, no, wrong stop. Maybe if you're shadowing a child, maybe you want to let them miss a stop and help walk through with them the process of recovering. You know, I think I'd give them a tip the first time, but maybe I'd shadow again and say, okay, let's see how you do this without me correcting you. Mistakes are so valuable. We learn from them. Edison said when he was trying to invent the light bulb, he hasn't failed. He discovered, what was it? I think it was 999 things that didn't work. So we learn from our mistakes, and yet as parents, we want our kids to thrive, and our instinct is can sometimes lead us astray. Sometimes we just have to let them mess up a little bit. Better they should mess up on a local bus or a local subway in a familiar area than when they're practicing with you or when they're just getting started than have them miss a job interview because you haven't worked with them on this before.
Oh, Kathy, we have to repeat that in case anyone missed it. Better to mess up on a local subway or bus, or to take too much money out of the ATM, or to do something, than to miss something big. You know, the little people, little consequences, big people, big consequences. I asked my
yes.
book club about this question. I had them all tell me what are the life skills that their teenagers do and do not have. I think some teenagers have suffered as a result of this. but you know, one of them that came up, some people might say, well, I don't know if my ADHD kid or my kid with different learning differences can do this. And I think I know what you're going to say, but what about, you know, things like comparison shopping for the best price. Can our kids do that?
Well, when you're talking to someone who started life as a math teacher, well, started life as a baby, but when I finished college, my first job was a math teacher. And what I would do in giving problems like that is I'd make simple examples with easy numbers. I didn't say three shirts for $19.99, I'd say three t-shirts for $20. If one t-shirt is $8, then do you save? If you buy three, how much do you save? I round numbers, create simple examples for that sort of thing. And again, I do things they care about. That the word problem, I'm making it something that they're actually interested in buying. In real life, we do comparison pricing on t-shirts they like and not on something they don't care about.
So you're basically suggesting, I love this, that if they want a phone or concert tickets or whatever teenagey thing, they want an Xbox, they want a Wii, whatever it is, that we involve them. They want a t-shirt. We involve them and say, you know, let's do this thing we call comparison shopping. And P.S., you need to do it for car insurance too, you know.
Yeah.
I love that.
I have a friend who got her kids started on this extraordinarily young. She started paying them to do chores when they were real little, like 8 or 9. She'd pay them for washing and folding laundry, you know, a dime here, a quarter there. But she also put them in charge of buying birthday presents for their friends. So they'd earn their quarters and dimes over the week and rack up quite a few, but then they go to the store. Boy, when it's your money and you've been folding laundry for a couple of weeks, you think a lot about what would be a nice present for your friend, and you check the prices pretty carefully.
I love that example. So you're basically giving, you know, giving them chores, you're having them mm-hmm. earn the money, and then they're experiencing also the fact that, wow, it doesn't go very far. So that's a great example of that. And so what I hear you saying is that, you know, there's ways to wrap this into daily life that make it fun and interesting. Kathy, what about this whole, you know, they have to be able to make a dental appointment. I mean, our kids don't necessarily turn in homework. They don't necessarily follow through. What would you advise to parents who are listening who think, I want my, you know, 22-year-old with ADHD to do this stuff, but I'm not sure what to do?
Okay, well, with the 22-year-old, I'm going to assume that this young person has a phone, and that can be a lifesaver for our young adults, because if we have a phone, we can set it to remind us to do things. My son doesn't miss appointments because he just puts things into his phone immediately, and he couldn't do this when he was 16. It's a growing process, but that helps. We also experimented through high school with different kinds of calendars. We go to an office supply store every year, and I would let him pick what kind he wanted. One year it was a day timer. We tried different kinds of wall calendars, and he would mark it up, and I would back him up. So gradually you want to move from providing less and less support. Greg Harris from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association has this great image of what's called cold framing. Now, I'm not a gardener, so I didn't know this. I heard of greenhouses, and I know you put plants in a greenhouse to start them when it's too cold outside. But if you're growing a tree, you don't, and it gets big enough in the greenhouse, you don't want to just put it out and untempered and expose it to harsh weather, to freezes and things. So Greg Harris was saying, just like plants need to be put in a cold frame where it's not heated, but there's some plastic and shelter, same our teens need to be given a little more freedom and a little more opportunity, and opportunity to make mistakes as well. Then they learn.
Oh, I'm going to repeat that, Kathy. Opportunities to make mistakes, because then they learn. All right, folks, we are out of time, but Kathy is phenomenal. This is a really important topic, because this is one of the reasons, one of the things our young people struggle with. If you would like to connect with Kathy, she is at learndifferently.com, making sure I get that right. And her latest book is Encouraging Your Child. Kathy, you've given folks really concrete stuff, and I really appreciate that. So we want to give them a little shelter and then some more freedom. Thank you so much for being on the show, Kathy.
Oh, it's been a privilege. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem.